Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Tonight, if you don't know, is a very, very special night across the country as 1,300 people prepare to sleep outside. They're all hoping to bring awareness and to raise money for Focus Ireland, which is the charity working with people who are homeless or just at risk of being homeless. So it's called Shine a Light and it aims to raise 1.5 million euro to help provide services to those at the coalface of the dire housing crisis in this country. So I am joined by broadcaster, documentary maker, basically all round legend, Stephen Byrne, who is taking part in the sleep out tonight. Stephen,
how's it going?
How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to be back. I like what you haven't done with the place.
Yes. I would say it's been looking like this for well over a decade.
Oh no, it's gorgeous and it's gorgeous to see your face as well.
Tell us what's happening tonight.
Yes, so this is the Shine a Light night. You might have heard of it over the years before. It's all to raise money and awareness to challenge homelessness in Ireland today. Obviously, we're going through a cost of living crisis at the moment in this country, which is just foreshadowing possibly an even more dire situation than what we already have. We talk about it all the time, you know, the issues with homelessness in this country. And with these organizations like Focus, they are there to really, you know, try and challenge this in a way, not only by helping people who are currently homeless, but by also preventing it. And I think when people look at organizations like Focus, they don't know what they do. Whereas there are so many different services that they actually do provide. And like I said, tonight we're aiming to raise 1.5 million, which is a lot of money, but it is so needed when it comes to all of the services that are provided. Like I said, not just finding housing for people in the country today.
So what are the other services?
There is the preventative services for one, you know, making sure they get in there before people do actually become homeless and giving, you know, the exact things that are needed in order to prevent that happening. But then also at the same time, simple things like people who are currently experiencing homelessness might be in, you know, hotel accommodation or emergency accommodation, providing simple things that might be able to help, you know, their children get to school, be it leap cards, things like that. There's also
it's
the very simple things in that regard to day-to-day life that are there to kind of step in and help. And then also at the same time, there's the aftercare services as well for people who have left homelessness but are still struggling in whatever way to try and maintain a home and keeping in that direction.
And I think particularly at this time of year, because it might sound like something very obvious and very basic, but with the turn in the weather, this is really the time to be shining a light on something like this.
Which is what this is, Shine a Light Night. Like you said there, 1,300 people are going to be sleeping out. It's proudly supported by Bord Gáis Energy as well, who have been brilliant and have gotten behind it completely and have made huge donations themselves to the whole programme.
So where can people sleep out?
So you can sleep out in your back garden if you want to.
Oh, okay.
It's as simple as that. And that's something that actually happened a lot during the pandemic. So obviously we weren't able to get out. We weren't able to, you know, get onto the streets. We weren't able to go to certain places that we would have. So a lot of people, you know, rallied behind the cause last year and the year before and got out into their back garden. It's something that families kind of did together. So that is still something that you can do. You might spot a couple of groups around your town as well. There's a lot of businesses who are doing it as well. And it's still not too late to sign up as well on the website, which is shinealight.focusireland.ie.
And where are you sleeping?
I am going to be sleeping in town in an undisclosed location for now, because I don't think I'm actually supposed to say where it is, but I'll be sleeping out with the Focus Ireland crew.
Okay.
And we're going to be getting together and...
Have you done this before? Is this your first time?
I have never done it before. Yeah,
it's something that...
Are you nervous? Not really. I think it's just going to be a real eye-opening thing. And that's what just getting being part of this whole thing has been an eye-opening experience for me. You know, it's something that I've wanted to be able to help out with. I've had a little bit more time lately and I just really thought, how can I get involved? And the first thing was getting into Focus Ireland to sit down with them and hear exactly the stories of people and what exactly they do. And there's just so much reality to it in a way that you wouldn't even think. It's a very simple and easy thing to become homeless. It takes a day, it takes a night, and all of a sudden it can happen to anyone. So nobody is immune from it in any way. And
do you know what the numbers are?
Yep, there's over, at the moment, 3,000 children in the country who are currently homeless, which is heartbreaking. And
children?
Which is a stolen childhood in so many ways. You know, you think about children in hotels and emergency accommodation and, you know, that simple thing of maybe having three children within one room sleeping with their parents and then what is lost for them is, you know, the ability to, you know, have friends over to their house, or even just the simple daily things that make them children and give them hope and give them, you know, imagination in their life. And then the overall figure is 10,500 people within the country, which again is just heartbreaking, and so many families within that as well. But the work that Focus Ireland do is incredible. There was over 12,300 people who engaged with their services last year, and that can be anywhere from, like I said, preventing moving into homelessness, people who are currently experiencing it, or people who have left homelessness and are still availing. And then they have the coffee shop in Temple Bar, which is
tell me about that actually.
Amazing things, especially during the pandemic, where they were providing hot food and coffee for people who were experiencing homelessness at the time as well, and also information services there as well.
So is that still up and running now?
It's still there, yeah, and it's still there for people to avail of, which is okay. Incredible.
So anyone who wants to donate, or I suppose still even take part tonight, where can they go?
That's the thing. I'm, you know, acutely aware of the fact that we are going through a cost of living crisis at the moment. So the littlest that you can donate would be amazing. A euro, the price of a coffee, anything at all. And even if you can't do that, we would greatly appreciate if you, you know, posted on your own social media and got the message out there about tonight, because that is just as important. The money is amazing. 1.5 million. Fingers crossed we'll get there. But at the exact same time, you know, it is about the awareness and challenging the idea of homelessness and what maybe people think about homelessness, because at the core of it, it can happen to anyone, and there's no prejudice against anybody and their story, and anybody who falls into homelessness in any way.
And I think it's also important for those people who do find themselves in that situation that they know people are behind them and support them, because there's value in numbers. So getting out there and just physically being there to show that you're there to help and support, even if you can't do so in a monetary way, that you can do so by just being present.
By being present, showing your solidarity, and then, like I said, at the exact same time, share, because we want to get it out there as much as possible so that people, you know, who can give will do that. So shinealight.focusireland.ie is the website. Head on there. If you're thinking right now, yeah, I can do that tonight, you can get a page together very quickly. You can create a page with your friends, a group page, so that, you know, maybe it's everyone in your business. You give yourself a team name, and it's all built into the website there as well, so you can raise all the money on the website rather than having to use a third party thing like GoFundit or anything like that.
Perfect.
So it's all built in.
Easy.
So.
But for a minute, can we just talk about other stuff that you're up to? Because I think a lot of people are going to remember the amazing documentary that you made, okay, Playing It Straight.
Oh, the football.
Yeah,
yes.
The lack of professional footballers who are openly gay, basically, is what it was about. Now, Jake Daniels.
Yeah.
He came out in May, wasn't it?
Yeah. It Blackpool was a footballer.
Huge moment.
18 years of age, I think, in the just coming out of the academy system into kind of the main fold.
And what does that mean?
Huge. I mean, absolutely massive. Obviously, for me growing up, being gay was something that I just didn't see working compatibly with what I loved, which was football. I didn't feel like that masculine atmosphere and a machismo kind of attitude was something that really kind of was in line with what I was starting to realize I was. So for young people all across the world, seeing that is amazing. But then at the same time, one of the biggest examples of that is one of the best goalkeepers that's ever lived, Iker Casillas, last week made a joke on Twitter saying that he was coming out as gay, but it was all a joke. And then a footballer called Poyel replied and said, oh yeah, we've got to tell everybody about us. So those sort of boyish jokes are still happening within that community. And seeing players come out and live, I guess, authentically as themselves is a huge, huge thing for young people, but also for the other footballers who are still out there. And I will tell you that there will be a documentary possibly soon that we'll be talking about that again.
Oh, really?
But we can't talk about that.
Even to me, Stephen?
Yeah, maybe off the camera.
So do you think there's a load of footballers who are still too afraid?
Oh, yeah. You just look at every year we've got the stats going up and up and up about people who are, you know, queer or identify in some way that is other than straight. So I think the current stat for young people in the UK is somewhere near 30%. So when you look at that, you're saying, okay, well, there's something like 6,500 professional footballers in the UK, and think there's got to be at least 300, let's say.
Yeah, of course.
Even to the standard, which would be 10%, which was what it was for years in terms of people identifying as gay. So, it is out there. There are a number of players who are still in the closet and they're still afraid for whatever reason to come out. And I fully understand it. I fully understand
why. Well, then
why.
How do you feel about, for example, the World Cup being held in Qatar?
Oh, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare.
Is it a nightmare?
Yeah, I saw them saying yesterday on TV, there was an interview with one of the organisers and they said they had to be challenged 4 or 5 times before they said that someone could wear... the players could wear pride at armbands, because I know a lot of players are planning on doing that as a protest. There's going to be a number of, I think, countries who are going to be in some way wearing LGBT colours during their performances and stuff. Which I think, if you remember Germany, they played Hungary, I think, at some point, and they came out with the flag and all that before, and they changed the colour of the stadium, and UEFA went mad at them because it was a political statement. But it was like, that's not a political statement, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of that when we see it. It's such a jarring thing that the World Cup starts in 3 or 4 weeks. I'm just like, what? Sorry, what? What month is it? Is this summer?
But at least it'll bring it as a topic of conversation, I suppose.
Yes.
It'll allow people to talk about it and address it.
Exactly. I think it's just a shameful thing to see and a number of, you know, ex-footballers like David Beckham, you know, really throwing themselves as ambassadors behind a tournament which has for many years just obstructed human rights. And if you really look into it, the amount of people that have passed away in the creation of the stadiums and everything, it's just heartbreaking. And hopefully now that, you know, the heads of FIFA have changed since this World Cup was given, you know, hopefully there will be a change in the future about where those sort of events can be held and should be held.
And hopefully we'll be seeing you doing a documentary
Who knows what will happen.
Well then tell us, what else are you up to? Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, it's just lovely to be here, and it's lovely to be here talking about, like I said, what is so important to me right now, which has been, you know, working with Focus Ireland over the last while, who are of this event, proudly supported by Bord Gáis Energy, and just really trying to raise as much money as possible tonight and this evening, and try, you know, really tackle, I guess, the idea of homelessness in this country and challenge it so that we can hopefully get to a point where it is manageable in a way that, you know, we can get it to a point where we're not experiencing it at all, or at least in small numbers, so that we can get those people into emergency accommodation and also homes. Because at the end of the day, every single person in this country has a right to call a place home.
Before I let you go, Stephen.
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter.
Oh, God.
So I have to ask you about
this. Oh, Twitter is like a stream of consciousness for me.
No, listen. you need to explain this. You tweeted.
What did I tweet? Oh, God. Thank God I don't work here anymore. I don't have my bosses calling me. What did you tweet that for?
Listen, you tweeted that you're always getting into wrong people's cars.
Oh, yeah, I am, yeah. That's...
What is that all about?
Did nobody ever do this, ever? No? Do you never do this?
I've never.
Maybe it's my lack of knowledge in terms of cars, which is weird because my dad was a mechanic for years and now he still works as he's a motor engineer, so I should know a thing about cars. But no, if someone's waiting, you know, for me outside somewhere, I just instantly think it's the car that's right in front of me. So I will just step in front of it. So I tweeted that because I was coming out of my house the other day. I thought my auntie was outside my house. I went, opened the door. A woman screamed in my face like, "Ah!" Because I thought it was her car. It was a red car. Her car's blue. I just completely...
Did you scream too?
I might be colorblind. Of course I screamed, but I wanted to get out of there as soon as possible.
Is this a regular occurrence?
Oh, once every 3 months, definitely. I would say like 3 or 4 times a year I'm stepping into people's cars. So if I do step into your car, just if you could, don't scream, because I'm going to scream as well. And also if you could, just get me where I'm going.
Stephen Byrne, thank you so much for coming into us today. The very best of luck with tonight.
Thank you.
I've no doubt it'll be a huge success. And to all the other people who are taking part in Focus Ireland Shine a Light, Sleep Out, make sure you shinealight.focusireland.ie. Head on there, over there, and take part, sign up, donate, do what you can.
And wear your thermals because it's going to be cold tonight.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.